The arrow can only point in three directions for Notre Dame football in 2021. It could point up, we can get better. It could point down, we could get worse. Or we could plateau and have a sideways arrow. Those are the only three options available to us. Which will it be? Nobody knows, but let's take stock of where we're at halfway through spring ball and see what we can decipher. There's a lot to talk about, a lot to consider, a lot of questions, and some answers. There's a lot to go over. Let's get into it. Let's talk about it. Let's go. Right. Welcome in. Welcome back, everybody, to a halfway through spring football edition of the Always Irish Show. As always, you can find the show on the very popular website known as YouTube.com. Hit subscribe if you haven't already. And after you watch the content, if you approve of it, go back and give it a thumbs up. On Twitter, search Always Irish or at JKZND4. Emails, alwaysirishnd@gmail.com. Audio only anywhere you want me, you could get me. Merchandise link in the description if you want to get yourself a Make Frank Leahy Proud shirt. This is the sample. I wanted to try it out, wear it, make sure it's comfortable, all that kind of stuff. It'll be going up for sale in the store shortly, but I do like how it turned out. Make Frank Proud, okay? So that will be available, as well as some other unique tees that are in the works. So, halfway through spring, where are we? What do we know? What do we not know? Do we know more than we knew at least a couple weeks ago when spring ball started? Let's take stock of where we're at and where we need to go. So here we are, halfway through spring ball. This is a time period where there isn't much football going on at all. It's the off season. So everybody hangs on every piece of information they get out of the spring practice sessions of their school. This is a really natural reaction for any diehard of any team. When there's football activities, you want to know all about it. You want to see what's going on. You want to know what's good, what's bad, what's concerning, what's great, all of that. With Notre Dame, due to COVID and spring football snuck up on me. I don't even feel like they had exact dates of what they were going to do. And then before you know it, spring practice started because of COVID and everything else on campus. It's just been a little bit of an atypical cycle, just like everything has been the last year for everybody. But as a result of this, all we're really able to view and see are like 3 to 5 minute package clips Notre Dame releases. They let you see what they know we want to see. I hope everybody understands that. It's 3 to 5 minute clips showing some highlights. You're not seeing the full picture. You might see this great pass and completion on this highlight. What happened the four throws before that, right? Like, it's really, really hard. Everybody wants access. Nobody has good access. So you're trying to pull out what you can from these little clips, and it's difficult. So I take what we're seeing with a large grain of salt. Maybe it's just me and my half glass empty type thing, but I need to see the full picture. Okay. Your 3 to 5 minute clip doesn't tell me the entire story. It's better than nothing. Every fan likes to see a clip of some quarterback throwing a completion, a good long pass, but we're not seeing the full picture. So I take all of this with a grain of salt. Listen, guys, every single coach in the country gets up there for spring ball, says their team looks great, they're having a good spring. Hope springs eternal for everybody this time of the year. And we just know, factually, It's not true that everybody's having a great spring and they look good and they're excited for the fall. But no coach can get up there and say, listen, guys, we don't have any good talent and next year's going to be a real struggle no matter what we do in the spring. So with all this spring football stuff, I do not have it in me to sit there and stress out about everything I see in a 3 to 5 minute clip. It's just not enough information for me to 100% buy into the theme of whatever I'm being showed in that three minute clip, 5 minute clip, highlight package, whatever. What will I believe? I will believe what I see happen in Tallahassee, Florida against Florida State Sunday, September 5th. What I see on that field that day is what I will believe is real, because that is when it matters. That is when it counts. So that's what I'm going to believe. All this spring stuff, I take it with a grain of salt. Okay. That being said, let's try and gauge exactly where we're at in a few areas and see if we could pull any differences out from what we thought going into the spring. And now that we're halfway through this spring session, let's just see where we're at. Let's take stock of some of this stuff. One thing is very clear to me, and this is something you could gauge from the clips, I think. Notre Dame is firmly planted at the top of tier two in college football. I believe that. They have a pretty good operation running right now. And I think everybody's bought in. I think they feel good about their coaching staff. I think they feel good about the overall talent. There's no doubt the last few years, the floor has been raised as far as the talent level at Notre Dame. Notice I'm not going to the top end of that and saying, you know, it's elite because of the talent. No, it's not yet. But the floor has been raised. Notre Dame's depth's better than it has been in a very, very long time. You have guys that are third string defensive linemen that would be starting for Brian Kelly Notre Dame teams a few or a handful years ago. That transition to a higher floor with better depth is something I feel and I've seen, and the recruiting and development has bared out. That is good. And it kind of reassures me that we could, at a minimum, hopefully, worst case, maintain our status in this transitional year firmly in tier two in the college football chain. So we're firmly planted there. They have a good, solid operation. It's just a matter of how not to get stuck where we're at in tier two. It's a big, big deal. You gotta figure out how to get over the hump, okay? So I mentioned in the title these three different arrows. It's just the most simple way I could piece this together and think of it logically. You only have three options. There are no in-betweens. Notre Dame's either going to get serious about being real playoff contenders, modernize the offense, keep utilizing the great defense and make it even better with Freeman. So that arrow is up. If you're going to modernize this offense, still play great defense, be more aggressive, then your arrow can go up. The arrow could go down if Notre Dame lost too many guys from last year, seven starters on offense to replace, the offensive line's being rebuilt. I talk about, people are sick of hearing it. I get these emails and tweets all the time about my lame, are you reloading or rebuilding position? I will not back off that. It is the number one question for 2021. Number one. Over modernizing the offense, who's the quarterback, all this stuff. Biggest picture item for this specific year coming up is reloading versus rebuilding. Okay? Seven offensive starters to replace. Is it a reload or rebuild? What are we working with? What are we working with? So there's three arrows Two of them are really easy. You could get into rebuild and not reload and drop down, meaning you lose 2, 3, 4 games next year. That would be an absolute disaster that cannot happen in somebody on their 12th year at Notre Dame. Okay. That's the disaster scenario. Staying right about 10-2, 11-1 type area is kind of a flat line. That's where we've been lately. Really, really good, even with the undefeated seasons. Really good, but then you get to what matters when there's trophies on the line. We saw what happens. Okay? So you could set things up similar to what you've been doing, and then you're going to plateau. You're going to flatline. So those are two options. You end up having to rebuild, not reload. The arrow's going to go down. You end up trying to do things the same with relatively similar talent. You're going to flatline. Those two arrows are easy. Those are natural arrows that could happen to any program in this situation in a transitional year for the roster in many ways. The hard arrow to accomplish is the upward arrow of getting better. It's uncomfortable. It involves taking risks. Here's what I mean by that. Everybody readily admits what we've been doing is pretty darn good. We have one of the top records the last few years of college football, making the playoff twice, all that. Couple undefeated regular seasons. That's great. But that's not the goal. The goal is putting something in the trophy case. And we saw evidence that even though we're doing all that, it ain't enough to play with the big boys and put something in a trophy case. We all saw that. The evidence is in. The evidence is clear. What needs to happen? But it's easy for me to say you got to be more aggressive on offense, open it up downfield. That's what wins titles now, scoring, 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 aggressive, fast pace, attacking, north, south, all that kind of stuff. I look at it as this. This is a move Notre Dame needs to make. They need to adapt this offense. And I will give them credit if they do that, because it's not a comfortable thing to do. Brian Kelly, looking at the template that's gotten him 2 undefeated seasons the last few years and playoff appearances, it's really hard to look at that and say it isn't good enough. We need to rip this up and do something different. That's very, very hard. For about 98% of college football teams, they would be absolutely thrilled over the moon with if their program is where Notre Dame's been the last few years. They would be absolutely thrilled. We need more. We're ready for more. We want more. It's a dozen years. Let's go. Let's go. So it's uncomfortable and it's a risk to change a lot of this offensive philosophy in an effort to try and be more modern and aggressive when you've had so much success doing it the other way. But this is a risk that is necessary and has to be taken. And if I don't see clear evidence against Florida State week 1 that the offense is different, then this is going nowhere and I'm on a countdown until Brian Kelly retires, because you're not going to get over the hump. It's not possible. Even Nick Saban's been talking about, I used to be a run the ball, play defense type of guy. That doesn't win anymore. You got to be aggressive and score and throw it all over. Saban's been talking about this. Saban's been adapting with these trends. Now, obviously, it's a lot easier for Saban to adapt to do anything when you have access to the talent he has compared to what Notre Dame has access to. I understand that. I'm just saying, even hard-headed Nick Saban, who does things his way, has taken a step back and admitted it ain't all about defense and running the ball anymore. You got to be up-tempo and score a lot of points. If Nick Saban realizes that and has embraced it, there's no reason Brian Kelly can't see it or refuses to see it or whatever. It is the way it is. We have to adapt or this is going nowhere. Nowhere. And if I see some lame, soft, non-aggressive approach against Florida State, that's it. I'm on the watch until Kelly's done, because you're not winning anything that way. You're not. Regular season stuff doesn't impress me anymore. We're past that. You got to perform in the next level up, which is the playoff, and be able to compete. This is a compliment that my bar is this high for Notre Dame. But they've boxed themselves in terms of expectations. They've done everything else you could do except win a playoff game and play well in one. Undefeated seasons are really, really hard. But I still don't see anything in the trophy case. That's my issue. Okay? So, getting the arrow to point up is uncomfortable. It takes risks. You got to put yourself out there and be willing emotionally and intellectually to divorce yourself from some of the schematics and philosophies that have allowed you to playoff appearances recently. It's hard to build up that foundation and then realize that it's not getting it done anymore, but it's not getting it done anymore. So that's where we're at. So let's start offensively. 7 starters to replace. Let's go into kind of maybe some stuff we've learned or not with the offense this far, halfway through spring. So as we look at the offensive side of the ball, 7 starters to replace. Yes, that's a large number and a monumental task, but in a way, having to replace that many guys is also a perfect starting point to install a more aggressive approach to offense, because you're going to have 7 new guys that aren't used to the old way every week that are starters. So to me, it's a perfect time to install a more aggressive offense and work on that. You already have people shuffling in and out naturally anyways. It coincides perfectly to me. Now, QB, not ideal with Buckner's development being hindered by COVID and injury. It is what it is. Okay, I've seen athletic throws made by all the quarterbacks on tape. It's hard to tell what's what. What did the guy miss the other 4 throws before I saw that one on tape you wanted us to see? I don't know, because I'm not there. But I'm thinking of the full picture, not just what I see in that clip. Okay? So, based on what I'm seeing, reading, hearing, I would still be shocked if Cohn didn't start. That's just me. I feel like Notre Dame approached Cohn to come here with that as the plan once they realized how much Buckner was set back from injury and then losing his last year of high school ball to COVID. So I feel like that was the approach and the mindset, and I would be surprised if he's not the starter against Florida State. If Pine could push him, great. At a minimum, I hope that'd mean you have a backup that could function. I know some people say it's not fair. Pine being the height and weight he is a concern to me. It just is. Unless you're Russell Wilson, Kyler Murray, one of those type guys, Mahomes. I'm not saying every smaller guy, but for Notre Dame and the way I'm used to them running offense, somebody that small in stature is a concern to me. It just is. But if Pine could push him legitimately, not fake manufactured competition from Kelly trying to act like it's something it isn't in spring just to get the most out of the competitive spirit or whatever. But if Pine can legitimately push him, great. But I would be shocked at this point if Cone's not starter in Tallahassee. Now, I still believe personally Buckner has the biggest potential elite upside in the quarterback room. So that's still where I'm operating from. But if Cohn is the guy to start opening things up in 2021, I can live with that, I guess. I don't love it, But if that's where we're at due to circumstances beyond all of our control and Kelly's control, fine. I can live with it. But only if the offense looks new and it looks modernized. And this is a step to installing that with a upperclassman guy that's been around and can run the new system and get it kind of off the ground. I can live with it. But if it looks like last year, I'm not interested. I'm not interested if it looks like what we've been doing. Wasted year. Wasted year. Because we go over this all the time. Doing it the old way is going to make you look like a great team in the regular season, and you're winning nothing when it comes to what really matters with trophies on the line. So if it's Cone, fine, but only if it's something new with Cone. If it looks like the old stuff, not interested. You're not going anywhere. You're not, period. So that's the deal with the quarterbacks. Running back, an established, known commodity, clear strength of the team. One of the strengths of the team. I love how the top three guys in this room are all slightly different. You know what Kyren could do. You know what Sebo could do. To me, Tyree is the key to me moving forward. You already know what Williams is going to give you. You know Sebo is the yin to that yang. You know that. That's built in. Chris Tyree last year was criminally underutilized in the run game at times, but much more specifically in the passing game. There is so much you can do with Chris Tyree in the passing game, and it wasn't done and or wasn't done nearly enough to satisfy me last year. He's a weapon I feel wasn't utilized to his full abilities, and that's a waste, and it has to change. You get Chris Tyree in space any way you can. You get him the ball, and you let talent do what talent does from there. Okay? So, I don't want to hear, well, he wasn't the best blocker. I'm not asking him to block. I'm asking him to find a little opening in space, get him the ball, and then let his natural God-gifted abilities do what they do. I don't care about blocking at that point. I'm sending him out there to find an open area, catch a pass, make moves. Make moves. So to me, you know what you got, Sebo, Kyren. I need them to use Tyree better and way, way more often for me to be satisfied. Period. Period. Tight end. Obviously, losing Tremble hurts, just like losing Komet early to the Bears hurt. We know Mayer's a beast. Okay, here's what I need. I need more passes to him downfield, in the middle of the field, up the seam. It seemed to me almost all the passes he caught were those little drag routes towards the sideline. They throw it to him, and then he runs by people, pushes him down, and then he gets nudged out of bounds. Those are awesome. He's good at it. He's good at shedding tacklers, being overpowering guys. That's great. But again, he's somebody capable of more. You could run him down the seam, down the hash, throw him the ball like they used to do with Kyle Rudolph and Eifert and those guys. He's capable of more than just running a drag route to the sideline. Use that. Use that. Okay? George Takacs, not a bad two. We saw some good things from him last year. But with Tremble gone, he needs to step up and assume a much bigger role. With regards to the offensive line, this is where it gets very, very interesting. This is also a part of the reason I'm saying I can't take this offensive film that seriously I'm seeing from practice. currently with Patterson recovering from surgery, everything we're doing is operating with 5 out of 5 new offensive linemen. And a lot of times they're rotating positions and moving around. So that's really, really hard to gauge exactly what's what. And I'm not going to overreact to it because now is the time to move guys in and out, see who could do what at the offensive line. Okay. So once Patterson's back, it's still 4 out of 5 new offensive linemen. No program likes being in a position to have to rebuild almost the entire offensive line like this. But if you proudly claim to be and accept every year accolades for being known as offensive line you, I fully expect the guys that are called on to be ready to play and to perform well. Otherwise, you're not offensive line you. Every couple years when you have a bunch of upperclassmen, you don't get to just start saying you're O-line you. You either are or you aren't. If you are, every year you should have good ones developed, ready to go, step in and play. So if you're offensive line you and you want to claim that and own that, let's see it. Let's see it when you don't have guys that have 70-something starts. Let's see it. So lots of moving around and experimenting with Lug and Baker and Zeke and Blake, whatever, whatever. Now's the time. Figure out who could do what, where, and who can't do what, where. Now's the time. Figure it all out. I know people don't like the possibility of 2 freshman offensive linemen starting. Neither do I, ideally. But if they are the toughest guys and they're pushing people around, it is what it is. And at least that builds towards the future. Unlike starting an upperclassman who doesn't have as much talent or isn't as tough of a guy, but he's just been around 4 years, so we're going to start him. The hell with that. If Blake Fisher and if Blake Fisher's the toughest guy, put him out there. Put him out there, okay? So this is a key group to me. I talk about how the offense will be designed moving forward as a key point. Will the ideal plan have to be augmented due to this offensive line being inexperienced together? We'll have to wait and see. Some of this I don't think we know yet. Like, is this group naturally going to come together to be really good run blockers, or does that take more time to come than to pass block, which would lend towards a more passing heavy offense? When you're redoing almost an entire offensive line, there is an element of wait and see. So that's a big piece to me that will dictate what this offense is going to have to look like. So aside from quarterback, because it's the most important individual position in sports, that offensive line is going to be the key to what this offense looks like. What are they capable of? Wide receiver, another huge question mark and key. Lindsey, Keys, Austin, Wilkins, Davis. Not only do you need to be good, you need to be available. Your best ability is your availability. I've said it before, I'll say it again. Obviously, you can't help it if a kid gets hurt. I'm not saying that, but it's no matter what the reason, school, in Kelly's doghouse, grades, getting in trouble, being hurt. If you're not available, you're not available. I need these guys to be available. I need you to be available. I'm sick of hearing about potential from the wide receivers and then not getting any results on a large scale that move the needle. All those older guys that have been around need to step up, be available, and make big plays. I'm sick of hearing all the names I mention and being frustrated that I'm not seeing the output. Johnson, Stiles, Watts, Colsey should all get chances to steal reps from the older guys I just mentioned, because none of them are proven that you can rely on snap in and snap out. All of these spots should be available. Full competition, okay? So, I've been hearing Braden Lindsey's having a great spring. That's fantastic. Do it in the fall when it matters. You could tell me he was banged up all last year. Fine. I'm still frustrated. He's fast. Use it. Here's the thing. When I talk about redoing this offense, being more aggressive, here's what I would do. You could say this is irresponsible. You could say you're saying this because you're just a dumb fan who grew up playing Madden. Whatever you want to say to this, I don't care. Here's what I would do. Game one, week one, offensive series one. One of the first three plays is going to be a deep shot bomb for whoever the quarterback is to throw the ball as far down the field as they can with Braden Lindsey underneath it. If he catches it, fantastic. It's a touchdown or a 50-yard gain. If he gets a penalty, it's a 15-yard gain. If he throws it and it gets intercepted, guess what? It's a 50-yard punt if you stop the guy right where he catches it, or he falls when he does. Then I look at that as a 50-yard punt. Or let's just say it goes incomplete. I still love doing this. No matter the outcome of that play in the first drive, we are putting it in the opposing defense's faces that Notre Dame's no longer afraid to stretch a defense and go vertical. So no matter what the outcome of that one play is, drive one, week one, game one in Tallahassee, at a minimum, you are making that defense have to think this is different than what Notre Dame did last year. They didn't throw these bombs. We better watch out. That instantly loosens them up, keeps that safety staying back instead of creeping up a little bit. I would do it game one, week one, series one. Throw it as far as I can and have Lindsey go for it. No matter the outcome, it's a victory to me. You are letting people know, back up. Notre Dame's no longer going to play in a 15-yard little rectangle. They're going to go over you. So you better keep it in mind and loosen up back there. So that's what I would do right off the bat. To let everybody know Notre Dame's not afraid to open it up this year. Day one, week one, drive one, game one. Do it. Let everybody know that right away. Okay. Overall, though, with the wide receiver room, whoever's making the most plays in the spring and then plays in the summer practices should get a chance in the games. It's very simple. I am sick of hearing about potential and not seeing tangible results. Whoever balls out and makes plays should get to make plays against Florida State, period. I don't care how old you are. I don't care where you are on the depth chart. I don't care how many years in the program. I don't care. Give me the guys that are going to make plays, period. And really, that philosophy goes for any spot being backfilled from last year. Whoever makes the most plays should play at all these spots. Needs to be known. This is a new Notre Dame. We're trying to get to a new level. And only guys that are ballers get to play and start here now. We're moving up a notch. As we transition over to the defensive side of the ball, just like we have major questions on offense, such as how much, if at all, will we modernize and get more aggressive, which it's been established and proven that is what it takes to win big games and trophies. There's not a question about that anymore. It's a fact. We have evidence. We also have big questions on defense. For instance, what will look different under Freeman? This is the cherry on top as we're looking for the already established strength of the team, which has been the defense the last handful of years. We're looking to see how much even better it could get under Marcus Freeman. We already know he's going to use more movement, allow for a little more latitude for guys to make plays in space within the scheme and structure. It's exciting, and I can't wait to see him take our already established strength and try and make it better. That excites me very much. I've taken crap recently for my all-in man-crush love for Marcus Freeman prior to him even coaching it down at Notre Dame. I feel what I feel. You don't have to. That's fine. But I know what I know. I know what I'm looking for. I know he has it. That's me. You don't have to be there, but I believe in him. I just do. Nothing's going to change it. I've been asked, what if the defense looks bad to start? That's what I've been getting asked lately is, John, you're professing this love for Marcus Freeman, saying you know he's the guy. He hasn't even coached it down yet. How are you, Mr. No Patience for Anything That Isn't Great, going to react if the defense looks rough the first couple weeks? Then what are you going to say about your idol, Marcus Freeman? Here's what I'm going to say if that were to happen. If that were to happen, my reaction would be very simple. Marcus Freeman's not the one who failed to recruit enough elite secondary players to compete with the best teams we play. That's not Marcus Freeman's fault if this secondary can't stop anybody because you have one established guy you trust, Hamilton, and nobody else. That's not on Marcus Freeman. You give him a few years to recruit within this system at Notre Dame. You're not going to have that question. You're not going to have this issue. He won't allow it because of the way he recruits. Trust me, book that. So if the defense looked rough, he's not the one who didn't recruit enough guys in the secondary, because my guess is if the defense doesn't look great, it's going to be because of the back end. I think most people around the program feel pretty good about that front seven, as do I. So that's what I'll say. Oh, John, the next thing you're going to say is, but John, if Marcus Freeman's so good, why can't he coach up these guys, develop them? Listen, you can only coach up guys so much. It's a lot easier to coach up guys that are really good into great than slow, uncoordinated, recruited as a wide receiver. You're playing in the secondary now. So that's what I'm going to say to that. You let him recruit the guys he wants to recruit, you're not going to have this issue. You're not going to have this issue, especially in the secondary. So you can coach up and develop all you want. The easiest path is to recruit guys that are good at the position you need them, and they come in, you hone them, and they get even better. And that's what Marcus Freeman's capable of. But if this defense struggles, it ain't going to be because of him. It's going to be because of lack of elite talent on the back end. In a world of college football that's mostly focused on passing the ball down the field, that ain't a good spot to be weak in. So that's my response. Now, getting into the defense more specifically. Defensive line, clearly a strength. Mike Elston deserves a ton of credit for what he's done with the Notre Dame defensive line over the last few years. He deserves a ton of credit. Clearly a strength. Should be the year we really see some guys emerge. Foskey, both Adamanolas, Myron, Nana, Botello, Cross, all these guys have a golden opportunity right here, right now. Quality depth at defensive line sounds odd for me to say, because for about 20, 25 years recently, when you start looking at why can't Notre Dame compete, defensive line would have been one of the top things all Notre Dame followers would have mentioned. So seeing us starting to develop that depth is fantastic. Cross is a perfect example. That's the kind of guy that would start on most recent Notre Dame teams 3, 4, 5 years ago. Now he's got to fight for it. That's a good sign that the floor is being raised, the compete level's being raised. Cross is a guy that would have easily started 5 years ago. So there's a lot of younger guys with a lot of upside. We've seen flashes for special teams plays that are going to get a chance to make an impact. I hope they go for it. Grab those snaps. Claim them. Make them yours. Make them yours. I also feel pretty good for now at linebacker. White, Bauer, Leafau, Simon. Who's the leader of that group? That's kind of what I want to know. The verbal leader of that group. But the talent-wise, I think most people feel pretty good about that group. That front seven, people should feel pretty good about, and I do as well. Secondary, this is where my biggest concern lies. Kyle is Kyle. The problem is I need four of them, not one of them. You're looking at maybe Cam Hart, a wide receiver recruit, starting in the secondary. Houston Griffith signed up for the transfer portal. Didn't even want to be at Notre Dame. They talked him to come back. He's in the mix. Do I trust Clarence Lewis and Bracey? This is the area I'm most concerned about. There's just too much instability, too many unknowns, too many unprovens overall for me to feel great about, unless Kyle Hamilton could multiply into three or four of himself. So secondary makes me very, very nervous. But the best way to cover up for shortcomings in the secondary is to have a very above average or elite front seven. So that way you're getting after the quarterback. The secondary doesn't have to be back there defending the pass for 8 seconds. So that's very clearly the concern, and we just have to hope somebody can play. I don't care if it's freshmen that just walk in the door in August. If that's who's making plays, you let them make plays. Don't care what year you are, how long you've been around. Playmakers make plays. Shooters shoot. Okay? So defensively, secondary biggest concern, feel pretty good about the front seven. Offensively, most concerned with, aside from quarterback, because we already know that dynamic and the setback with the timing with Buckner and all that. So aside from quarterback, offensive line is a big question to me. What they're capable of doing, what they're good at as a group, what they're weak at as a group, all that still needs to be figured out. Big question mark. Big question mark. But overall, offensively, my biggest worry isn't even individual players. It's schematics. Am I going to see a more modern offense right away? I need to see it night one in Tallahassee. Need to see it. That's my overall concern is, will we see enough of a modernized offense that I feel comfortable that we're trying to do it? So philosophy is my number one concern on offense. If it looks like it did the last couple years, not interested. We're not going anywhere. You might win all your regular season games. We all know how it's going to end when you get into a big game with something on the line. So that's kind of where I'm at. Spring sessions have reaffirmed all of this for me. So work it all out now on both sides of the ball. Now's the time. Figure out who could do what, when, and where. Who can't do what, when, and where. Now's the time. Get the competition level up. Mix guys around. Move them around. Do all of that. Now's the time for that exploration. And it feels to me like that's what they're doing. So try it all out now. So when you get back into fall camp in summer, you already have a better idea of the direction you're going with some of these position battles, personnel groupings, what have you. Okay. Special teams. You all know that's something warm to my heart. Recently, Polian gave an interview talking about the idea of being more aggressive with kick returns and punts and saying sometimes he suggests to Brian Kelly, let's let it rip this week. You should be letting it rip all the time, just like you ate Taco Bell at 2 a.m. after leaving the bar and you wake up in the morning. You should be ripping like you ate 10 White Castles after leaving the bar at midnight. That's how much you should be letting it rip. Ever heard of Tim Brown or The Rocket? Notre Dame has had a lineage of good kick returners. To not use the speed we have now, I'll never understand it. You're leaving points on the board. You're leaving yardage on the board, field position. It makes no sense to me that Notre Dame under Kelly do not value special teams as an equal third weapon. I don't get it. There's three phases of football, and our coach avoids one of them. You have fast guys. Let them return kicks and punts. It's not that complicated. It is not. We have some speed. We have some talent. Use the third phase to your advantage. It's a waste not to do it. Okay? It is a waste. So, overall, hope springs eternal in spring ball across the country. Reality kicks in that last weekend in August leading into September. I hope to see evidence then that Notre Dame is in fact modernizing, reloading, and moving in an elite direction. That's all I got this week. I'll talk to you on Twitter.